This podcast replay is brought to you by AccidentLawFirm.com. For truck, motorcycle, and rideshare accidents, call Bobby Nunez, 305-444-4407. AccidentLawFirm.com.
Get in on the AccidentLawFirm.com text line. It's 786-322-1105. That's 786-322-1105. It is time now for our Canesware Miami Hurricanes report with, of course, the one and only Manny Navarro. We do it every Tuesday here on the program. So make sure you follow him on Twitter at Manny_Navarro. He is fresh right out of Kane's camp, so he's got plenty of things to talk about. Let's bring him aboard. Manny, how you doing, my man?
Doing great. Oh, how you doing, man?
I'm doing fantastic, my brother. We got the broadcast going on. We're having some fun. Next Tuesday, by the way, we'll be at Big Cheese. So next Tuesday, we'll probably do the segment a little later because we got to give you some time to come on over, right? So maybe 12:30, 1 o'clock we'll do next week. What do you think?
Yeah, that'll probably work for me. It'll be Pittsburgh week, and hopefully this team will be 4-3, and there'll be a lot of optimism going into that Pittsburgh game.
Yeah, no, you're right about that. How was the feeling right now when you met with the boys? They've got to be in a really good mood after that win.
Absolutely. I think they all feel a lot better after being able to beat a team like Virginia, who was, of course, the preseason favorite to win the division, and to really keep their season alive, because had they fallen to 2-4 and been 0-3 in the division, the season would pretty much be over. But we know how wild that Coastal Division is, and a lot of things can happen. A lot of these teams are going to end up beating each other. And if Manny Diaz's team can be a good second-half team, where they don't have those lapses like they did against North Carolina, where they fell behind 17-3 and 28-0 to Virginia Tech, if those things don't happen and they play well, then they could be right there at the very end of the season pushing to be in that ACC championship game.
So who's the quarterback?
That's the number one question, man. It's funny. I just finished writing that story for The Athletic now about why Nicosi Perry can certainly make his case to be the starter. I'll give you the facts first as far as practice. We were able to watch 15 minutes. Tuesdays are the only days during the week when Miami allows us to watch anything of practice. So that's why you come down here on Tuesdays. Jaren was throwing today, which is more than he was doing a week ago, at least in front of the reporters. But I can tell you it looked like he was on a pitch count, you know, where Nicosi was throwing 3 and 4 passes to receivers. Jaren would drop back once and make a throw. And it looked to me like he was trying to get the arm loose, trying to get that shoulder loose.
Evaluating more than anything else, huh? Is that
right?
On the sideline, the other people are evaluating him while he's practicing. That's what it seems like, is what you're telling me.
Seems like that to me. Now, again, the player said both of them threw today during the practice once we were kicked out of there. But I tend to think, especially the language Manny Diaz used yesterday, where he brought up this whole story about the Jets quarterback and how they prepared him for a week before actually putting him back into the lineup. They prepared him like he was going to play, but he didn't play, and then he finally came back this Sunday.
I thought you were going to tell me the quarterbacks had mono. All right, thank the Lord. All right. I mean, they are in college, so, you know, there's a lot of ladies out there. So, yeah, you never know.
It'd be a lot more common. I think Manny, you know, again, this is just a gut feeling, but based on the language Manny used, based on what I saw today, I think Nicole is probably going to start again this Saturday, and I think Jaren will probably be available to play if needed, but I think they want to give him another week to get that shoulder right. Now, again, nobody's come out and said it, but this is just me, my observations, hearing people talk and all that stuff. I think it's like the Jaren Williams is another week away before they really want to put him back there.
And I think also this is one of those games that, does it really matter if you're, I mean, you're the better team. If that defense showed up the way it did this past week, you should be fine even with me at quarterback.
Absolutely. And, you know, Georgia Tech, they're just going through that rough transition where they're trying to get out of that old Paul Johnson system and play the spread and recruit players out of Georgia that have been very, very good for many years that have gone elsewhere, not to Georgia Tech, because they ran that old antiquated option offense. And I think, it's going to be a while before Jeff Collins over there gets that thing rolling. And this is a game, Miami at home, they got to dominate. And I, you know, I think that's, you know, they've played five close games, man, outside of that Bethune-Cookman game. Five games that have all come down to the final drive. And, you know, they've won two of them. I think this is the kind of week where, you know, you want to see these guys start strong and finish strong and win comfortably. So it's going to be important for them to do that. And you know, you got they got plenty more time here in the coming weeks to you know, get ready for FSU and some of their bigger challenges. But I think this is the week, man, where you want to see what you got out of Nakosi Perry. And if maybe he's really the guy who should be starting and not Jan Williams.
So let me ask you, what did Manny say? What did Manny do this week? Because obviously the guys came to play, man. They balled out this week on defense. So something got in their ear. Have they talked about it? What have you been able to unearth? What was the difference here?
Well, I mean, I think, again, we brought up these guys last week when I talked to you last week. But I think the difference was Michael Pinckney and Shaq Quarterman playing a lot better, you know, the leaders of that defense. And, you know, I think those guys just have a strong bond with Manny. And Michael talked about it today, Pinckney, that, you know, when it comes out of Manny's mouth, it's just different for them than when Blake Baker says it. And that's because that's been their coach. Manny was their guy, you know, for their first 3 years at Miami. And they just responded differently. They played differently. There was a better focus. And when your best players are playing their best, it carries over to the rest of the team. And really, against Virginia Tech, those guys didn't play their best. And that's why you saw them give up 42 points. So, to me, that's the difference. It's, you know, Pinckney and Quarterman playing at a high level, listening to Manny Diaz, playing, doing the things that he wants them to do. Same thing with Blake Baker. But it's sort of following Manny's lead. I think that's the difference you saw in this game.
So, and what does he have to do to make sure that these guys can actually carry his message? You all right there, Manny? You all right?
Yeah, sorry.
It's all good. It's all good. All right.
Yeah.
So what does Manny have to do to make sure that these guys can carry the message? Because Manny cannot be carrying that burden, too, of, okay, I got to run the team and I got to run the defense. I mean, you hired these guys or you gave them the responsibility for it. You want to delegate responsibility to people. You want them to handle it. So
Right. What
do you got to do to bridge that gap there?
Well, I mean, I think the players got the message. I think Pinckney and Quarterman, you know, realize, hey, not only should we be motivated because, you know, Manny's our guy and we want to make him look good and lead this team, but I mean, the NFL is watching, right? And they're watching every move that those guys make. And this isn't the year to screw around. And so I think, you know, it's on them ultimately, man. It's always on the players to carry out what their coaches ask them to do. And I think, you know, you saw the focus this last Friday night against Virginia. You saw the urgency. And I think you're probably going to see it the rest of the way because those guys have every motivation, every reason to be motivated to play their best and to not sort of resort to the kind of play that they were doing before.
Offensively, they definitely weren't as impressive this week as they were the week before with Nakosi. What was the difference?
Well, for one, Virginia is a much better defense than Virginia Tech. So you got to give them credit. Virginia Tech plays a whole bunch of man. Virginia plays all different kind of coverages and zones. And I think, I thought Nakosi played well. I mean, Nakosi a year ago against Virginia was horrendous. In this game, you know, he led that opening drive. And then in the fourth quarter, he was sharp. I mean, he looked like a much improved quarterback. It was the second and third quarter where they just couldn't get the running game going. And that's ultimately what's hurting his team is that, you know, besides the sacks and the tackles for loss, the offensive line isn't getting much of a push at all. And so that running game, it almost requires DJ Dallas to, you know, pull his best Barry Sanders impersonation, really, to get the running game going because they're just not getting a lot of push, and it's on those guys to make plays. And so, when you don't have that balance and teams can basically sit there and say, okay, we're going to put you in third and long and we're going to shut down the run, then it makes all kinds of pressure on the quarterback to hit passes on first and second down. And, you know, Nakosi struggled a little bit. He has some receivers drop balls. He had a couple guys open that he missed that he should have been able to complete the ball to that he just wasn't able to connect with them. So, I still think, though, when I look at the numbers and I look at what Nakosi Perry brings in terms of arm strength and making defenses respect the deep ball, which is something that they weren't doing with Jaren Williams, I think that he's the better quarterback for this offense right now because that offensive line isn't very good and because that running game can't really get going. I think you need a guy like Nkosi who can be a deep threat and keep those defenses a little honest instead of stacking the box with 8-9 guys and saying, hey, we know Jaren Williams is going to throw the ball over our head. We know that you're not going to get a lot of push from your offensive line. We're just going to keep everything in front of us. So that's why I would stick with Nkosi Perry moving forward. But we'll have to see. We'll have to see how he plays and if he can continue to play error-free. Because he's had that one interception against Virginia Tech in the end zone where he made a bad decision. But outside of that, there have not been many moments where you said, man, Nkosi, what are you doing with the ball? Or why are you throwing it there? There have not been many of those moments so far.
Yeah, I'm just not a fan of his accuracy because I don't think he's right. An accurate guy. And that's, you know, my theory of when you're not accurate, you're never going to be accurate. That's just the way I am. Now, I hear this deep ball stuff all the time from so many of you that cover. Is it that Jaren doesn't have the cojones and doesn't dial it up enough? Or is it that he can't do it? What's the roadblock there?
Well, I just think, you know, when it comes to arm strength, I think Jaren is average. I don't think he's exceptional. And Nkosi has an exceptional arm in terms of strength. I mean, I've heard stories about him in practice, you know, throwing darts 70 yards down the field, you know, rolling to his right. I mean, you saw that one of those plays against Virginia Tech when he kind of rolled to his right, evaded the pressure, and then hit Jeff Thomas about 45, 50 yards down the field. Jaren Williams doesn't have that element to his game. He is more of a sit in the pocket, pick apart a defense, and with extreme accuracy and throw the 15 to 20 yard out and throw that well. I think anything beyond 20 yards, his accuracy falls a little bit, and certainly his arm fit, it takes the ball a little while longer to get there. He just doesn't have the same zip that Nkosi does. And another aspect that I say is sort of in Nkosi's favor. I think he's a more elusive quarterback than Jaren. And I think he also knows he has more cojones when it comes to taking off and running. I think Jaren has been very apprehensive to run at times. And I don't get that sense with Nkosi. There were times when Nkosi sees things break down and he just takes off and runs. And this Miami offense needs that, especially with teams, you know, sort of dropping into those deeper coverages when he's in there. He, you know, Nkosi can keep those defenses off balance with his legs by running more. And I think, you know, that was an effective tool for them against Virginia.
Yeah, no, I'm with you there. Manny Navarro, by the way, joining us for our Canesware Miami Hurricanes report. We do it every week here on Tuesday. And in fact, next Tuesday, you can catch Manny with me live over at the Big Cheese. They're right down the street from the U, so we'll be broadcasting out there. Actually, you know what? We're out there 2:30 to 4:30, so it's actually later in the afternoon for you. It'll be because they want a later broadcast. So because, you know, we've been doing it earlier the last couple of weeks. But they want a later broadcast, so we take care of the customer here on the show. So they want us there in the afternoon.
We'll arrive at like 1, set up, 2:30, live, we go.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, so you can catch them. What do you think we're going to do, like 3 o'clock, 3:30? What do you want to do? You tell me.
Yeah, I could be there. I could be there at 2:30. Maybe have some lunch and then come on the air with you whenever you want me to.
That's
come
it.
On.
That's it. There you go. So Manny will be stuffing his face at 2:30, and then at 3 o'clock he'll be on the air with me. You can watch me stuff my face around 1:30 because I do about an hour before I get on the air, so I'm relaxed and chilled when I'm on the air. But yeah, you come on by and stuff your face over at the Big Cheese, which is a beautiful thing. Brevin Jordan. That dude has been absolutely phenomenal, man. Tell me a little bit about this kid because this guy has become, you know, the ultimate weapon offensively for the passing game.
Yeah, he really has. And you know, again, super talent. Everybody knew he was one of the best tight ends in the country coming out of high school. They saw his potential. They saw his fit. And really, oh, when you think about it, I mean, Miami, what they've become here, even through the losing, is still, they're still tight end you, right? I mean, yeah. There's guys in the league playing that tight end position, and I think he's just sort of the next guy in that great chapter. I mean, you know, Las Vegas-born guy, Bishop Gorman High School, who, you know, he played running back at times growing up. So, I mean, it's not like he was always just a receiver or a tight end. He's a guy who had the ball in his hands. In fact, we saw Dan Enos give him a handoff against Virginia this past game on a tight end sweep, which is really, I mean, how often do you see that in football? But Look, today he talked about getting caught from behind, how upset he was that, you know, he got hawked, you know, from behind. Somebody came in and stopped him from scoring a touchdown there against Virginia, and how people have been teasing him about his speed. So I think this week he's going to be highly motivated to get in the end zone multiple times. And if you're one of those rare college football fantasy players, I would tend to think picking up Brevin Jordan this week would probably be a smart idea, because I think he wants to go out and score two or three touchdowns this week.
Yeah, well, he's a baller, dude. I mean, that's the one thing that stands out. It's kind of like watching Tyler Hero, and I don't want to get too excited about it, but I keep getting more and more excited about Tyler Hero, and I keep building up my expectations for the kid, and it's probably not fair because he's a rookie, but every time I watch this kid, it's like he looks like a freaking star, dude. He looks like an NFL player.
He really does. And, you know, the one thing that the coaches have talked about him really improving is his blocking. You know, and he's really focused on that, sort of becoming the complete tight end, not just the guy who can catch passes and make plays in the passing game. He wants to be able to be on the field and be effective in every single facet. So, you know, that's good. I mean, he's not one of these kids who's come in as a prima donna and said, hey, just give me the ball. That's all I want. He wants to be the complete player. He strives to be the best. And I'll tell you, he's one of those rare guys. I've mentioned it before when I've come on with you. He's one of those rare guys who feels every loss and feels every victory. And it's just, you know, he's kind of a true Cane at heart. He's got that swagger to him. And to me, he is him and DJ Dallas and Nestor Silvera. Those three guys are kind of like old school Canes to me, and they're fun guys to cover.
Manny Navarro, you can follow him on Twitter at @Manny_Navarro. Catch his work at The Athletic. Manny, this game, the Canes are going to be heavily favored. Now, they're 3-3. They easily could have a better record if they played better. After this performance, there's no way they get big heads going into this game, right? They're not going to overlook at how bad Georgia Tech is. They're going to take this game seriously, right? Do you get that feeling, or are you afraid that they could get complacent when they really have no business being complacent? But I'm just wondering.
I'm always going to be afraid with this team, man, because after watching that Central Michigan game and seeing them kind of screw around for a bunch of quarters and not really put the effort, I'm going to be fearful. That said, it does feel like you know, they did turn a little bit of a corner last week in terms of, hey, you got everybody on board now, buying into what Manny wants them to do and not just sort of picking their spots. I mean, I think beating Virginia sort of re-energized the confidence level. Not that they didn't think they couldn't beat Virginia, but I think it's one of those things where it's like, I think the first few games, the team was always sort of expecting the bad thing to happen, right? For Bubba Baxter to miss a field goal, or for Jeff Thomas to muffle punt, or for something bad to sort of hurt them. And I think now getting that win, seeing, hey, when we play really, really hard and we got our leaders leading us, we should be able to beat everybody on our schedule. This isn't a very tough schedule. So I think they're going to come out motivated. It's a 12 o'clock game, which is weird, right? They don't play a whole lot of noon kickoffs, although now they're going to have back-to-back ones against Georgia Tech and at Pittsburgh. But it's an early kickoff, and you know, we'll see. We'll see how they come out. We'll see if they wake up on the right side of the bed on Saturday.
So it's official? Bubba lost his job?
You know, I think as far as kicking field goals and extra points, why mess with something that's working, right? I mean, you got McLovin now kicking field goals for Turner Davidson. I don't see why Manny Diaz would go against it. You know, obviously, I think he's going to continue the quote-unquote competition, but I think right now, until Bubba Baxter proves it in practice that he's over these yips, I think he was even struggling during warm-ups, man. I wasn't watching the kickers during warm-ups last week because I was actually doing some Cane Spanish radio, but he was missing, you know, field goals during that time, and that's why they ultimately went with Turner. You know, and they've got other guys that can kick, other walk-ons that are talented. Turner was a kicker in high school, and I think his longest field goal was 43 yards, so you know, he's not, he doesn't have the elite leg of Bubba Baxter, but if he's more accurate and he makes them, that's all you need.
Yeah, no, I'm with you there. Listen, Kickers are they're a weird breed, man. They go through these phases, and sometimes they get lost. And once they lose it, they're done. It's really weird like that, and it's unpredictable. That's the thing. I think coaches can see rhythm with other players, but with kickers, it's one of those things that they have no idea until they're in the middle of the fray of whether the guy has it or he doesn't, right?
It really is. It really is bizarre. And so, I mean, look, Bax is a guy that, I mean, when it comes to leg strength, dude, I mean, he is as strong a leg as there is in college football. They knew he had accuracy issues when they took him. I think he was 4 of 10 his senior year of high school on field goals. But they thought it was something that they could correct, and they did. I mean, he kicked well last year. He wasn't a bad kicker as a freshman. It's just one of those things, man, where the mind is fragile. And when you lose that confidence and you miss a couple kicks in a row, you get in your head, and that's just what's happened to this kid. And it's sad because, he's a talent. He's probably a guy who could kick in the NFL if he could get over this, because his leg is certainly strong enough. It's just disappointing for him. And I hope the kid at some point can turn it around. It's crazy. It's crazy what's happened to Miami with this kicking game all of a sudden, right? I mean, you had Zach Beagles last year, the punter, who all of a sudden, came in so hyped. His dad was a great kicker here, played in the NFL for years. And now, he couldn't figure out how to get the ball off his foot the right way. And now this kid, I don't know, maybe they need a new special teams coach, man. I don't know what's going on with the kicking here in Miami.
Like, I had Kelvin Harris on the show yesterday. He was like, well, we had Carlos Huerta. He never missed. So it's just
right.
Depends on what era you're from, because, those of us that grew up watching the Canes, we've watched some really great kickers in the past. And you feel for them. Because I do feel for Bubba, man, because Stad has got to be the loneliest person on the team at the moment. You know what I'm saying? Because when those guys miss, it's almost like they're an extension and not really a part of a team as it is. And when they miss and when they're not reliable, oh my Lord, it must be like they must feel like a complete man on an island.
Oh, absolutely. And I hate to do this, but the reality is, if Bubba Baxter isn't going through this, it's a very good chance this team is 6-0. I mean, the missed field goal at Florida at the end of that game in the fourth quarter was a chip shot he missed. He missed another chip shot at North Carolina, including a 45-yarder at the end. And then the one off the extra point against Virginia Tech, where they would have gone up 36-35. Who knows how that changes the game? But that's been one of the biggest stories of the season is this strong-legged kicker, this talented kid, going through this sort of mental situation that's not easy to deal with. And, it's just crazy, man, the little things. I mean, if Manny Diaz had a kicker and he was 6-0 right now, he'd be the king of the world. Instead, you got people out there saying, get rid of him. He's another Golden or something like that,
You can't do that. You can't get rid of the man. I mean, there are things you can question if you want, but you got to give the man some time. But, yeah, the Bubba Baxter story is just, man, that is funky. But we'll see if Turner Davidson can keep the job. And what do you got the game this week? How much do you think they'll win by?
Well, is the line still 20?
So it's something like that. It's pretty close to that, yeah.
I could see 3 touchdowns. I could see something like, 31-7 or, 31-10, something like that. I still don't think this offense, it's not easy, man, when you got 2 freshmen playing and you got, two holes on your offensive line where those guys are getting beat regularly or giving up, sacks. And even the older guys haven't been playing great. The Corey Gaynors and the Vaughn Donaldsons, they've had their moments where, they've been shaky too. So I just think, the defense will show up. This Georgia Tech offense isn't very good. Their quarterback is elusive, but, they play about 30 or 40 different guys on that offense. They literally go through the entire scholarship count there on the offensive side of the ball. So I think Miami will win this game by 3 or 4 touchdowns, and they'll be happy and they'll move on to Pitt the following week, which that's going to be a huge game. I mean, back-to-back road games in Pitt and Florida State, you win one of those two, I think you're definitely bowl eligible. Right now, they're projecting, I wrote this today in my story in The Athletic in my mid-season report,
I think Detroit, the quick lane bowl against Nebraska. Or, yeah, I know, that's what we're looking at. Or what was the other one? Oh, the Tony the Tiger Sun Bowl, by the way. That's the title sponsor. The Tony the Tiger Sun Bowl against USC, which I would actually love to see a Canes-USC game. That'd be pretty neat to watch.
Yeah, no, definitely. And Frosted Flakes is part of this? Tony the Tiger? Is that what that is?
Yes. Okay. Yes, I saw it. I was just laughing. I said, I can't believe, you know, the title sponsors, how they change over the years.
You know, when you say that, you know, there's only one thing I think of. I walk into the locker room after the Dolphins Flutie game, and the Flutie Flakes are all over the locker room floor, because Jimmy, in his addressing the team speech after they beat him, he tore up and stomped on a bunch of Flutie Flakes. So they were all over the locker room floor, and we all walk in and we're like, what the hell is this? And then we figured out that it was Flutie Flakes that were all over the floor.
That's great. That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. That was, that's what that reminds me of. Follow him on Twitter at @Manny_Navarro. Catch his exceptional work at The Athletic. It's our Caneswear Miami Hurricanes report. Manny, as always, my brother, excellent stuff. Thank you for taking some time. I'll see you next week at the Big Cheese.
All right, brother. It's a date. I'll see you there.
You got it. There you go. Manny Navarro, he'll join us next week. It's all about the you. It's all about the you. You say it. 2511 South University Drive in Davie. Get on down there. Support them. They support us. So we love them, of course. I don't know, listen, nah, I love Brett anyway, either way, whether they were supporting us or not. But it is amazing. They've been great. And don't forget, the 2019 football premier parlay jersey in white is in. The parlay uniform was created using recycled ocean plastic yarn to promote more sustainable ways of living. It features parlay ocean plastic, upcycled waste intercepted from beaches and coastal communities before it reaches the oceans. So you get an opportunity. So get on down there so you can get your jersey and use promo code BIGO20P to save 20% off the parlay jersey. You got that? Use promo code BIGO20P if you want to buy the parlay jersey and save 20% off of that. So go to Caneswear. BIGO20P is the code, and you get 20% off. 20P. 20% off. There you go. That's what it is. BIGO20P. So if you want to get that jersey, go for it. We'll post it on social media for you just in case. Because those, what did he say? What was that code? Big O what? I know you get 20% off. What was that code again? 20P, 20%. Big O 20P.
I was just about to be that guy because I'm sitting over here listening to the first hour cutting up stuff, and it's like, what did he say? What are you saying over there?
20P. That's about how many times I get up in the middle of the night. 20. To pee. 786-322-1105 is the accidentlawfirm.com text line. 786-322-1105. We thank Manny Navarro for joining us here on our Caneswear Miami Hurricanes report at 2511 South University Drive in Davie. Remember, go online to caneswear.com. If you can't drive to Davie, you can do it all online. And if you order over $99, you will get free shipping. So tell them that I sent you, and they will take care of you there at Caneswear. Go say hi to Brett. Brett does an awesome job out there.